I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and King of the Church. I would like to give affirmation to the local people who made the decision to make a move over here this morning. Those decisions are hard to make. And there comes a time to cut your losses and fold your tent and move. And they made that decision, and I affirm it. Made for a little rough start here this morning, but I think it will prove out to be a very wise move. And we appreciate those who have taken the initiative, Gary and his team, to move. I would invite your attention to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation, chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. For this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And let me pick that up. I lost my place. I'm getting old already. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This message to the church of Ephesus is a message that we would be wise to take heed of. We are not going through it point by point. A brief summary, perhaps. It was a faithful church. It was faithful in identifying error. It was faithful in dealing with error. But they had lost something. That which the Lord identifies as their first love. While it is not our intention to delve into that deeply, it is important, I think, as we evaluate 10 years of BMA, for us to think about what that means in the light of the message to the church at Ephesus. We have become busy. That is not bad. In a recent conversation with some of the leaders in our congregation, I said, we will be busy doing something. And it is best if we are busy in the work of the Lord. The issue before us this morning, as I would understand it, is the issue of continuing in faithfulness, those things that God used to call BMA into existence. At some point in life, one needs to accept the proposition that he or she alone is responsible for his or her predicaments. BMA is 10 years old. It is time for us to accept the responsibility for where we're at. It is time to not blame our past, our former colleagues, past circumstances, and so on. We have now made our own past, and no longer can we legitimately blame our positions or lack of positions on others. We probably never should have. In a conversation along this line with Brother David Burkholder recently, he and I, though we did not think that at the time, arrived at the title for this address: The Honeymoon is Over. I say that a bit with tongue in cheek because I cannot testify to having had that experience in my marriage. I would say that the honeymoon was as rough as ever, and it's gotten better. But you understand the common expression meaning the honeymoon is over. We were flush with new ideas, the new idea of an organization such as BMA, and moved with a certain momentum on the basis of that vision. And now we are faced with the hard work of continuing. And that is what we would like to discuss this morning. In the Ephesian church, as recorded here in Revelation 2, their first love, of course, was for Jesus, as introduced by Pastor Paul in that day, in the 3 years that he spent with them. It was for Jesus, as revealed in the Word, taught by the Apostle. It was for purity, as this passage testifies. They were identifying error and false teachers. They were diligent in purity, with the focus on Christ and His Word. But that is not enough. We must maintain those original vision, that original vision, as they are called to examine themselves in having lost their first love. I would like you to notice verse 5, the call to the church at Ephesus is a call to remember. It is a call to repent. And it is a call to do the first works. I think that is a call to BMA. To remember the vision that God gave us in beginning. To remember how it was. To repent wherein we have turned to the right or to the left of that vision. And to do the things that God called us to do. I do not have anything particularly in mind, more than my own sense of how it is in coming to these meetings. The level of excitement of the first convention held at United Bethel in 99 is different now. It has become something that we do. We prepare for it. We roll along through it. Move from one auditorium to another. That kind of makes things a little different. But it sort of lacks the sharpness of excitement of those first days. And I suspect that that is also true in our spiritual experience. And the Lord calls the church, and he calls BMA back to that level of spiritual excitement in the work of the gospel, in the work of BMA. This passage has a threat, a holy threat in it. Verse 5, in other words, if you don't remember from whence you're fallen and repent and do the first works, the Lord says, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent. The blessing of God upon the church at Ephesus would depart. The blessing of God, if we turn away from that which called this movement into being, will depart. Now, we can't cover everything involved here. I would like to focus on what we have said as a movement is the main thing. Someone has said BMA has a middle name. I'm not sure how you can get middle out of three words. But, or where you put the middle. But we have said it has a middle name. It is a word that starts with A and ends with Y. And it is? We have work to do here. It is the word accountability. And I would suggest that for me and others, it is very easy to lose sight of that. Well, we talk about it. When I've gone out presenting BMA, you know, I say, hey, the focus of this organization is accountability. Other organizations have failed for lack of accountability. That is true. I believe it's true. But is that where we're living? Or is that one of those first works that we have departed from? I'm thinking it may be. Accountability has become a buzzword in Christianity. It's a buzzword in the modern movements of Christianity. Not well practiced, however, as I'm aware. You know, we think we've done it when we said it. But accountability is a bunch of hard work. And it takes an openness to hear our brothers and sisters speak to us. I find it very interesting that we who would consider ourselves in the general camp of conservative Anabaptists are not the only ones that would talk about this. And in my working file for articles, I have had this article for many years. It was written by a man that we would not consider a conservative. We might call him a number of things if we were evaluating him, but conservative would not be one of them. It was written a number of years ago. Man's name is Ron Sider. Actually, the article was published in Eternity Magazine in 1976. And he is addressing the issue of accountability before the word was very popular. The title of the article is Spare the Rod and Spoil the Church. And I would like to quote from it just a bit. Again, I would say we would not agree with this author on many, many things. He starts the article by expressing disappointment and hurt over the way church discipline was practiced in his youth. And I'll pick up reading at the point where he concludes that. He says a narrow legalism and a preoccupation with insignificant externals has too often been a part of church discipline. If that is what church discipline means, some may conclude, then let's not disturb those sleeping ghosts from the past. May their slumber be long and peaceful. Now, listen. But to dismiss church discipline that quickly would be a drastic mistake. To dismiss church discipline that quickly would be a drastic mistake. Not only is church discipline biblical, which after all is what really matters, it is also highly relevant. One of the most striking things about the churches in North America is that conservative churches are growing while mainline churches are declining. It is not for purposes of growing BMA bigger that we're talking about accountability. It is for the reason of faithfulness to the Lord and His Word. He goes on to talk about the strength of any organization. He says, the strength of any organization depends to a large extent on the meaning of membership. That is, whether the requirements of membership are clear and demanding enough to distinguish members from non-members, and on whether membership requirements are actually enforced. After a sociological study of many religious groups, it was concluded that high membership requirements and vigorous church discipline are basic to strong, growing churches. And that is from one who is not one of us by a long ways. High membership standards, vigorous church discipline. I would say that for us as BMA, it is important to understand what accountability is and to make sure that it happens. Not that we just talk about it to make ourselves feel good, but that each of us open ourselves to accountability, that we as congregations open ourselves to accountability, that we as an organization of churches open ourselves to accountability. Sider points out that discipline has not always been done very well, but that is not reason enough not to do it. We would say accountability hasn't been done very well. Most of us have heard or experienced bad accountability, heavy-handed sorts of discipline. But just because of that is not reason to disobey God and not do it. Brother George Brunk wrecked an airplane many years ago. Some of you know the story. In fact, I think Brother Walter knows it better than I. But he ended up with a crash landing on Interstate 81. And when people came to see him in the hospital, he said a common question that was asked was, are you going to fly again? And his reply was, that is a dumb question. If I break my leg, am I going to walk again? And so we have had some reverses in accountability, some experiences that are not very positive. But does that mean that we're going to disobey God and not practice good accountability? I hope not. The experience of churches in this matter, or congregations, is similar to the experience with individuals. accountability for our local congregation compares with accountability within BMA. In other words, as you as a family hold children accountable, so the congregation holds its members accountable, so BMA holds its congregations accountable. They're not exactly the same, but they're similar. And for BMA to not hold its congregations accountable is very much like a congregation that will not hold its members accountable, which is very much like a family who will not hold its children accountable. The results are pretty similar as well. We have rebellious children, rebellious members, rebellious congregations. Again, quoting Sider, as he refers to the Methodist denomination, "Now it would be naive to suggest that the past growth and the present decline of Methodism is due solely to the presence or absence of church discipline. But the correlation is certainly striking. The author of Why Conservative Churches Are Growing summarizes the results for the success of Anabaptists and Wesleyans in this way. 4 points. 1, be in no haste to admit members. 2, test the readiness and preparation of would-be members. 3, require continuing faithfulness, that is, exercise church discipline. And 4, bear one another up in small groups. Those four things are given as reasons for the growth of congregations. I hope they also can be given as reasons for the growth of BMA. Many of us met in small groups to bear one another up yesterday afternoon in our regional meetings. We're together in a larger meeting today. We should be holding one another accountable as congregations. We cannot coast any longer on the past. We never should have. We cannot coast on the enthusiasm of the beginning. We cannot coast on the enthusiasm for our heritage. It is hard work, just as a marriage is hard work. It is putting one foot ahead of the other and pursuing the things that brought this movement into being. We have been talking about one of those things, namely accountability. In conclusion, I would like to remind us again of how excellent we all do in the area of denial. And by that I mean, if we were to have conversations with all of you, we could have very positive conversations about accountability. Well, I believe in accountability. I think accountability is required. But when we work in accountability with each other, suddenly that's not very nice. Suddenly I don't like it very well. And so what I mean by our excellence in denial, we say accountability. We have said, and it has often been said, And it's been said to me, you know, we got that message across, though I wasn't so sure a while ago. Accountability is the middle name of BMA. Okay. But you know, you will only really find that out if we practice it. And so let's put our lives on the line where our mouth has been. And open ourselves to the counsel of our fellow congregations, to the counsel of our brothers and sisters. Let us open ourselves to that accountability. Let us hear. Let us do it in the light of the first love. And if we don't, as the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, the glory will depart. It most certainly will. I'm not saying the organization will fall apart. Organizations can run many years in a spiritually lifeless state. That's not the point. Will we maintain that first love? Or were the naysayers right 10 years ago when they told us over and over again, what you're trying to do is good, but it cannot last more than 15 years. We were naive enough to believe that they were wrong. But it can only be if we keep returning to the original vision of accepting accountability, not just talking about it. I have found many times that the people who talk loudest about things live it least. They are trying to persuade themselves that that is what they believe. We as Anabaptists, above all people, should be living what we believe, living out what we say we believe. And so as we think about this movement called BMA, I call us to another chapter. May we call it the second 10 years. I call us to another chapter, a chapter of faithfulness to the Lord of the church, to the word that reveals him, and to a life open in the sense of community, open to our brothers and sisters, ready to give up all for Jesus. So in a sense, the honeymoon is over. We cannot coast anymore. We must pick up the torch and do the hard work of preserving and promoting the original vision. May we pray. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share together. We pray that the things that we have shared will be used by your Spirit to challenge each of us to faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.